Thanks for downloading another episode of the Lions Roar podcast. This week, highlights from the Lions' trip to Southport, all the news from around Nethermoor, from the Vixens and the Academy, plus a new feature called Your Roar, featuring this week Guiseley fan Keith Walker. First, we'll start, though, with highlights from Saturday's game at Southport. The Merseyrail Stadium was the venue, and commentary comes from Chris Bell and Colin Robertson.
Picked up now by Declan Weeks, and then out to the right-hand side where Ross White will play it long and upfield. And once again, Lawless stretching against Brody, wins the header, but only at the expense of giving it to Mikiano. Mikiano takes a thunderous shot from distance, rattles a crossbar. Maxted might just have got a hand onto it if it was a couple of inches lower, but it's perhaps an unintended shot from Mikiano, but he certainly hit it with some drive. And Guisey almost come close to conceding the first goal there. Good tackle comes in by Danny Lowe, but the second phase again with Southport until a good interception from Hatfield. Now to Veselovsky, out to the left-hand side. Preston looked more threatening of the Guisey attackers. Goes in towards the edge of the 18-yard box and puts a shot across the face of the goal. It's a decent effort there from Jordan Preston. It's what he's been doing, is cutting in field, getting onto the edge of the 18-yard box, just like he did against Dagenham Redbridge, but this time the finish not quite there. Corner on the right-hand side for Guisey, which Hurst will take. The Lions now four in the box, including Lawler, who's gone forward, as you'd expect, and Lowe. Goes up to the back post, finds Lawler, who makes a very good run, but he couldn't keep his header down. Holds his head in his hands, and he has to watch as the ball flies over the crossbar and behind for a goal kick.
He rose terrifically, but he rose so high, I don't know how he physically managed to get under that.
Hurst is screaming for it out here on the left-hand side. He'll get it. It's chipped over to him. He takes it down on his right foot. He'll want to cut in, but he's got Williams on the overlap. Hurst goes in field, gets the shot away. It's a good save from the goalkeeper, Craig King. Hurst crafted open the up angle to shoot on his right foot. But as he launched the ball goalward, Craig King responded quickly and palmed the ball round the upright for a Guisey corner. Cassidy on the edge of the 18-yard box, goes around a couple and gets the ball into the box to find Hatfield. It's well saved by the goalkeeper. Then the follow-up from Hurst. He can't direct it back across the goal, but it was a good piece of play there from Jake Cassidy. He took out two players, crossed it out towards the edge of the 6-yard box. Hatfield stretched, the goalkeeper stretched as well, and the goalkeeper succeeded. But again, good movement actually on that occasion there from the Lions. Now Hatfield collects inside the Southport half. Marcus Williams over the halfway line, skips past Nolan, plays it to left, now finds Veselovsky. Connor Brown steaming in on the right hand side. Veselovsky goes it alone, takes a shot, well parried by the goalkeeper. Connor Brown chasing up, tackle comes in, and it's behind for a corner kick. And that was a really great shot there from Veselovsky, and a good reaction save again from Craig King.
Yeah, good effort from Veselovsky. Kind of thing that frankly I'd like to see him try a bit more often, because he's got it in his locker.
Williams looks forward, up towards Cassidy. Cassidy nods well in field, finds Preston. Preston's got Hatfield. Preston cuts, gets a shot away, takes a deflection. It's gone behind for a corner. It only just goes past the upright. That's two or three good efforts from Guisey. And a corner again to the Lions.
Yeah, and again, good work from John Preston. Southport just aren't learning, are they? They're not making things difficult for Preston every time, allowing him to try and cut onto his right.
Corner on the right-hand side, four blue shirts in the box, one inside the six-yard box as well. This time it goes up towards the back post. Jake Lawler battling to try and win it. Higgins goes down, but it's picked up by Walton. He gets it back into the area, flicked away, but at the back post is Hurst, and it's in there! Yeah. Guisey take the lead! Yeah. And it's Kevin Hurst, who picked up on the loose ball just on the angle of the penalty box, and he drilled it home past the goalkeeper. I have to say, there's been two or three efforts in the last few minutes that Guisey have tested this goalkeeper. One of them has finally burst the net, and it's Southport 0, Guisey 1.
Absolute screamer from Kevin Hurst. A wonderful right-footed volley. A wonderful strike to finally beat Craig King. and Geisley have got themselves into the lead in this game.
The whistle goes. What a huge afternoon in the history of Geisley Football Club. A massive game, this one here at Southport. A huge six-pointer. It sees the Lions win. Southport nil, Geisley 1, and surely now level with points as we were with all of last season. Surely now, we can get over the line to safety in the Vanarama National.
You certainly hope so. A good win for the Lions on the road again. Just doing what they had to do, which was to get the all-important 3 points. And let's be honest, it was far from pretty. It was a pretty turgid game at times. But the important thing is that Kevin Hurst's terrific goal separates the two sides. And it's the Lions that get the 3 points. That is, you might say, Colin, Texas level on points with the entirety of last season with 5 games to go.
After the match, Colin caught up with Adam Lockwood and then had a word with Goal of the Month winner for March, Jordan Preston.
Adam, that's a huge victory in our season now. And, you know, we're on the same points as we are at the end of this evening as we got in the entirety of last season. Does that feel like we're just almost over the line now?
No, nowhere near. You know, results. For me, I want to finish as high as possible. We've got some very tough games, as today was a very tough game. You know, you say this is a massive 3 points, but from where we were, every 3 points, no matter who it was against or who we were playing, they were massive to even stand a chance of getting to where we want to be. We're still not there yet. You know, you see some of the results. You have to keep going, and you know, we have to keep trying to get as many points, and every game that we take part in, we want to win, as we have ever since we started. So again, good reaction from last week. Difficult game here today, very difficult, and you know, they picked up a win last week. We got a bit of a hiding, but yeah, disappointed with last week, but every time we've had a setback, we've had a great reaction. And like I said, it's a testament to those guys in that changing room.
A lot at stake this afternoon. You could tell it was a scrappy game in passages. But what a great strike from Kevin Hurst. It was just at the perfect time, wasn't it, as well, to get our noses in front.
Yeah, sometimes, you know, that's what the division's about. A bit of quality. I'd like to see more occasions, not just from Kevin. I'm talking about my whole team, that we can exploit that quality, because there's a lot of quality in that changing room. And I think we look back to when I first took over. First thing I said was that I think there's enough in that changing room. I think there's enough good people, and definitely enough quality. The quality was, you know, surprises a lot of people that we've got in that changing room. And you know, that, like I said, that's what's got us the victory today, alongside a great team performance to the game plan, to a man. You know, they worked at times. It didn't, you know, at times people make mistakes, but in general the game plan worked, and more importantly the guys out there, they put it in place, and they executed it. So they deserve a lot of credit. And then, like I said, a bit of quality gets us the 3 points.
When you reflect back so far on this season, and to be in this position on April the 1st, I know it's not job done, but, you know, in the early stages of your reign, we got a hammering by Bromley. Well, yep. Tonight we're above them in the table.
It means nothing to me. You know, I said from day one, nobody else matters to me apart from Geisley Football Club. We do our side of the bargain and do it to the best of our ability, and see if we can get as many points as possible. We've had a good go at that up to now, and you know, hopefully it'll be enough come the end of the year. But we'll keep going and get as many points as we possibly can. And I always said we'd have setbacks amongst away, and we'd have doubters, and you know, people, when I first got involved, and said you must be mad, you know. But I wouldn't have got involved if I didn't think we could do it as a group and as a club. And like I say, I've said it many times, the club deserves to take a lot of credit of the way they're going about things, and I can only thank everybody connected, and we keep moving forward, and like I say, hopefully we achieve what we want to achieve.
And that continues next week then, doesn't it? No less than Forest Green Rovers at Nethermore.
Yeah, like I said, it doesn't matter to me who we play, obviously different teams provide different challenges, it'd be a big challenge. We've already proven that, you know, we've come up against good teams in this league and competed very well. For me, and I think results all the way through the season will show you that ultimately, if you're not on your game and you're not prepared right, then you don't stand a chance of getting anything, getting any points at this level. So, yeah, we're playing a team in the, you know, top of the league, up around the top of the league. But for us, it has to be about us making sure we're right, and we'll definitely look at their strengths and weaknesses. But all along, we've concentrated on ourselves and get ourselves right. And up to now, we've picked up points, and we'd like to get more points. But you know, the position we were in, we keep plugging away. So hopefully, we'll continue.
Colin caught up with Jordan Preston after the Southport game to discuss with him winning March's Guiseley Goal of the Month.
Ball played forward is cleared by Connor Brown up to Jordan Preston, but he's got three red shirts around him, but he still gets to the edge of the penalty area. Shoot and scores! Jordan Preston broke away. Connor Brown cleared the ball up to the halfway line, and Jordan Preston held three Aldershot defenders off. Just used his pace, kept his nerve. The keeper came out. Preston side-footed it past him. The Lions, against the run of play, lead.
I'm joined by Jordan Preston after a fine 1-0 win at Southport. First of all, today's game, tough game, wasn't it? But we came out on top.
Yeah, it was just all about getting the 3 points. It didn't matter how pretty it were, how ugly it were. We just needed the 3 points, because obviously results went against us in midweek, so it's a massive win.
Yeah, you were trying to get the ball cut infield quite a few times. You came close on one occasion. How close was that from your perspective? The effort in the first half, I think, which just floated past the upright.
It were pretty close. It just won't go in for me today. I had 3 or 4, but Kev's helped me out with a good strike at the end.
You're getting to be a bit of a goal of the month. Congratulations on your goal of the month again from Guiseley Radio. But just talk us through that that goal and how that particularly made you feel.
No, it were, because obviously it were a massive game and we were under the cosh a bit, and obviously to score it were great, and it were a massive win for us against a really good team. So yeah, it were a special goal. Yeah,
incredible season this, isn't it? I mean, come on, think back to August. We never have thought forward to April, surely, that we'd be this position, this close to safety. I know nothing's done yet, but you must reflect on this as quite a thing to have been part of.
Yeah, well, obviously after 13 games when we're at rock bottom at table with 3 points, it's hard to see a way out, but since Christmas we've been outstanding, and we've gave ourselves the best chance we can now to stay up.
And onwards and upwards, Forest Green, fancy another contender for the April one?
Yeah, hopefully, yeah. It's sort of, we're going into every game now thinking we can win it, so hopefully, and it's a bonus if I score as well, yeah.
So the Lions move on. With just 5 games remaining, they return to Nethermore on Saturday afternoon, a 3 o'clock kickoff, and it's only Forest Green that they've got to play. One of the top scorers in the league will be coming to Nethermore, but the last time they came to Nethermore, Guiseley played them off the park and were unlucky not to get anything out of the game. So it'll be interesting to see, especially as Forest Green were beaten last week 1-0 by the bottom club, North Ferriby. We shall see how that goes. Guiseley Radio, of course, will be providing coverage of that. We'll be on air from 2:45 at mixlr.com/Guiseley Radio. So to a new section of the podcast entitled provisionally Your Raw. Keith Walker, a Guiseley fan of some years standing, is joining us on the line via Skype. I spoke to him the other night to discuss his opinions about Nethermore and particularly segregation. Keith, thanks for joining us. First of all, tell us a little bit about your history as a Guiseley fan, where you've come from and how long have you been following the Lions?
I grew up as a Wycombe Wanderers fan, actually. When they were non-league, so I lived down there, but moved up here for work. When my kids came along, I just wanted to take them to the local club, and that was Guiseley. So it's about 6 years now. I've been going to Guiseley regularly and season ticket holder for the last two. So I think our first match was the Glue League Premier. And yeah, saw them all the way through the Conference North. And obviously the last two seasons in the Conference National, or National League. I actually sit quite close to you. I sit on the stands pretty much on the halfway line. You've got a fair group of people there that have a bit of banter. It's just a really good atmosphere. I love the atmosphere there. It's a really good friendly family club. And I love the opportunity to talk to other people. Like even the last game, Dover fans, there was one sat in front of us and it was, you know, good chat. Getting to find out more about their club, expressing an opinion about their players, and you know, it was all done in a very cordial manner. There was no aggression, there's no sort of intent to fight or cause any trouble. And I think that's the best thing about non-league, isn't it?
Certainly, it's certainly one of the major selling points, isn't it, of Nethermoor, is that ability to sort of chat to other fans. We've had some fantastic experiences with, especially visiting fans coming up, and you sort of there's a mutual respect there of the journey, especially now in the, now we're in the National, of the journey that some of those fans have made. You know,
yeah.
All the Torquay fans, if you were there on the last day of last season, all the Torquay fans that came up there with essentially nothing to play for, but just came up for a good time. Do you find the atmosphere is limited or changed in any way when there are when there is segregation in place?
There is definitely a mob mentality. I mean, if the game's being policed, there's been a couple of FA Cup games where there's been a police presence, and they stand just before you get onto the bridge coming over from the car park, and that immediately makes everyone makes the atmosphere different. I think it makes. Because the police generally will stand there and they'll adopt their "we're policing a football match" pose, which is quite a, you know, defensive pose, and it gets people's hackles up, I think. But I do think that there's quite often a lot of visiting fans that do end up on our stands anyway, even though there's supposed to be segregation in place, because I don't think that's particularly well policed, if I'm honest with you. I think I'm expecting to see some Tranmere fans sat in our stands come Easter Monday, and I'm all right with that. It's just, what are we going to set our rules as if we want? I don't see the point in segregation. You know, I'd be quite happy if there was none there whatsoever. I do think that that would make the atmosphere better across. I understand that you want, for this one, limiting the number of fans coming because of all the traffic problems you're going to get if all of a sudden we had 2,000 Tranmere fans visiting because it was Easter Monday. So I can understand why they're making it all ticket, but I don't think it should be segregated just because I don't think it's as nice an atmosphere. I mean, do we want to be a family club where we can bring our kids and feel safe and they're not going to get upset because there's aggression? Or do we want to be a Tranmere? You know, do we want to be that fighting for the league? We think we're a league status club and all the things that come with that, which means that, you know, we'd have to have a bigger ground with family sections and so on and all that set aside to cater for those people.
I don't know what the answer is, you know, to segregation. Obviously, it would be brilliant. But for the reason that you stated, in terms of, you know, there is a mob mentality, you get 900 people in one place. You feed them alcohol and it just takes one person to get carried away. So you have, and the whole thing goes to pot. So you have to treat all 900. Unfortunately, you have to treat all 900 in the same way. Do you know what I mean? I think it's a necessary evil at this level.
I'm not sure I agree with you because you never see it in rugby matches. In rugby union matches, and there is a lot more alcohol consumed at rugby union matches than there is at a football match. There is no segregation. There is the same level of banter that we would have against a similar sized club in a non-segregated match. And that can be an international rugby match, even at Yorkshire Carnegie, it's the same sort of thing. You'll be sat with all sorts of other fans. You'll be mingling with fans in the bar before at half-time and after the game, having a chat, discussing the game, discussing your team. And they get crowds of 3,000-4,000 at Yorkshire Carnegie this season. So I'm not sure that segregation is necessarily the answer.
It's a common stick that football fans get beaten with, I think, about comparing them to rugby crowds and how rugby crowds can drink the same amount of alcohol and hurl abuse at each other. For me, and I've been to rugby games and I've been to football games, the stakes aren't as high at a rugby game. Now, maybe that's a cultural thing, maybe that's an attitude thing, but people don't get as, in my opinion, they don't get as het up about rugby as they do about football. That might be controversial, I don't know.
Maybe the getting het up, as you say, is feeding the mob mentality. And if that's something we want to have, then okay, let's live with it and deal with it. But in that case, it needs to be properly policed. If it's not something we want to have, then...
I don't think it's necessarily something we want to encourage. You know, certainly nobody wants to hear anyone being abusive, and certainly anything, you know, out of order, anything racist, sexist, any of that. Don't want any of that. We want to be a happy family club, don't we? We want to encourage as many people as possible. Let's try and realise where we are in the world, realise our place in the world, and what we can offer that you can't get at Leeds or Huddersfield or Bradford, because that's really who we're up against in terms of trying to attract fans, isn't it?
Yeah.
So we have to have something a bit different to those clubs to attract fans forward. And I think that's you've hit the nail on the head fairly early doors when you said, you know, it's a family atmosphere club. That's what there can be a little bit of mingling with opposition fans. There can be a little bit of banter. It doesn't need to get out of hand, that sort of thing. And that's how we attract new fans into the club. We're still fairly new to this level as well.
Yeah.
And no one is a pro at it straight away. So we are learning things all the time. So obviously, you know, we'll get better every time that we do this. And I hope that we're at this level for a good few years. Yeah. And we can learn to cope with. And maybe if we're here for a few more years, the attitude of some visiting clubs isn't, oh, God, do we have to come and play at Guiseley? It's great. We'll come and play at Guiseley. There's always good crack there.
Yeah,
it's always good fun. Something like that. I don't think it's something that's going to go away. I don't think it's something that we're going to solve overnight. I think it's incumbent on all of the Guiseley fans to try and create the atmosphere they want. You make the atmosphere that you want to have. I think you're right in that we do want to be that family club, and I think that's the Guiseley fans' responsibility to be that club. We can't control other fans, you know.
No,
we can't control other people's attitude. We can control our attitude. We can control what we do.
No, I think you're absolutely right. Like I said, it is down to us. What do we want to do? Do we want to put up with the abusive behaviour? Do you know what? I'll probably finish with an anecdote of when I first started going. There's probably about 300 people there. And in the same match, two things happened. One, there was someone that started swearing, and an old fella that was sat around us said, "We don't have that here. There's kids present." And he stopped swearing after that. And, you know, this, I'm going back quite a few years, but that definitely happened. And then the very same match, a different bloke tapped me on the shoulder at the end of the match and said, "Your lads are really well behaved. You should be proud of those." And, you know, those two things just made me think, well, this is a great family club, and that's, like you say, that's the people that are going, encouraging and discouraging or affecting the behaviour of the people around them by just making it the club that they want.
Keith, thanks very much for joining us on Your Raw this week.
You're very welcome.
And if, like Keith, you've got something you wish to talk about, discuss, anything you want to tell us, anything you want to vent spleen about, Guiseley related, of course, you can email us at radio@guiseleyafc.co.uk, and you too could be on Your Raw. Thanks to Keith there for joining us. Now, the Supporters Club have announced that it is time to cast your vote for the Craig Shearston Guiseley AFC Supporters Club Player of the Season Award. Who is your player of the season? You can visit the Supporters Club desk on home match days to cast your vote. There's votes taken up to and including half-time at the Solihull match, and the winner will be announced on the pitch shortly after the final whistle of that final game of the league season at the Solihull Moors game on the 29th of April. Guiseley Vixens are back to winning ways after a comfortable 2-0 away win at Mossley Hill Ladies. Two first-half goals and a penalty save from goalkeeper Beth Seesman were enough to secure the 3 points, putting them clear at the top of the table. The Vixens started the game well, scored their first goal just 4 minutes in. Danica Roberts threading a through ball through to Liv Thackray, who controlled it before dancing around a defender and slotting it past the keeper. Mossley had their only real chance of the half when they made Seesman produce a good save from a free kick taken from the edge of the box 4 minutes later. A good link-up between Roberts and Thackray saw Roberts hit a sweet volley, but it was put out for a corner. The resulting corner delivered into the box by Chantelle O'Hara, and Liv DaCosta met it with her head, directing it over the keeper to make it 2-0. The rest of the game was plain sailing for the Vixens, aside from a penalty when a Mossley attacker was brought down in the box by Josie Hewson. Mossley's substitute keeper stepped up, but Seesman dived correctly to her right to maintain her clean sheet. The Vixens are now 3 points clear at the top of the FAWPL Northern Division 1 with 3 games in hand, and return to Nethermoor Park next Sunday to play Chesterday Street. That's a 2 p.m. kickoff, £3 in, £1 for juniors, and free if you're a season ticket holder. And to top off a good week for the Lions and Guiseley AFC in general, the Guiseley Academy beat Halifax Town, recently crowned champions of the Under-19s League, 2-0 at Halifax. Luke Baldwin scoring a penalty and Jack Lazenby adding a second to round off a fantastic week for Guiseley's teams. So up next for the Lions is the visit of Forest Green on Saturday. Adam Lockwood's been talking in the press this week about how the job is far from done, but with 49 points on the board, the Lions are level with the amount of points they got from the entirety of last season. And if you consider that 50 points is generally the bar of safety in the National League, then we are tremendously close to achieving what, let's face it, at the beginning of October looked very, very unlikely indeed. The turnaround has been quite remarkable. Forest Green, of course, their latest form has not been particularly impressive, and they suffered a 1-0 defeat at the hands of North Ferriby United last Saturday, but they are one of the top scorers in the league, still one of the best teams in the league, definitely playoff contenders, at least if not title winners. So we shall see how we perform in that game there. Also, just to let you know, the following weekend we'll be playing Braintree on Good Friday. That's a 3 o'clock kickoff, and also a 3 o'clock kickoff on Easter Monday. Tranmere Rovers will come to Nethermoor. That game particularly is an all ticket match. You can purchase your tickets at the club shop this Saturday at the Forest Green game. Also, you can purchase them online. Follow the links at guiseleyafc.co.uk to get yours. And that about wraps it up for another episode of the Lions Roar podcast. Thanks very much for downloading us. I'm David Kendra, and we'll be back next Friday with more highlights and interviews from the week around Nethermoor. We'll be on air at Guiseley Radio, mixlr.com/Guiseley Radio. We'll be on air from 2:45 to cover the Forest Green game. You can join us there on the chat room at mixlr.com to give us your thoughts, opinions and abuse during that game. You can tweet us at any time at Guiseley Radio. And if you need any more information about Guiseley, go to the official website www.guiseleyafc.co.uk or search Guiseley AFC on Facebook. Thanks very much, and we will see you next week. Goodbye.
Picked up by Walton. He gets it back into the area. Flicked away. But at the back post is Hurst. And it's in there. Guiseley take the lead. The whistle goes. What a huge afternoon in the history of Guiseley Football Club. Surely now. As we get over the line to safety in the Panorama National.